Number 29, verse number 18. A verse that I often heard from my pastor when I was in Bible college. I think it was his favorite. The passage reads, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Matter of fact, back in those days, they had started a small church newspaper, and they called it the Baptist Vision. And for years that was published, and Dr. Malone would have his sermon, maybe somebody else's, a lot of little pithy sayings within that, and sent it out to the folks of the church and other folks who wanted that. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But we ought not stop there, because the verse also says, "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight as we think about this, and many thoughts as we come to the first day of 2014. Father, thank you this evening. We have the privilege to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and Lord, to be able to sing and just raise our voices in unison, declare your glory, your wondrous goodness to us. Lord, we're overwhelmed, really, with how wondrous you are. We thank you for our salvation. Lord, we thank you for what you have allowed in our lives. Sometimes we moan and groan and complain, but Lord, you have really been good to us, and somehow you always give us the best. Lord, many times I've not recognized that until much, much later, but I thank you for it, and pray that you might bless and work in our hearts tonight. I pray that you would just be honored by the things that are said tonight, and that our hearts might really be enthused in you and excited about what can be accomplished for the glory of God. Lord, we look at what we describe as a new year, and time we sometimes look back, and more than that we might look forward and just resolve in our hearts. Lord, bless work in our midst tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe our text is very emphatic about the necessity for a vision. And if we are going to continue as a people, we need to have a vision. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people what? Perish. But we find this verse is contrasted, as much of the book of Proverbs is, with the rest of that verse. "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." In one case, when there's no vision, they perish. In the other, when they keep the law, happy is he. I believe we can make some conclusion from that. And that conclusion, in my mind, is that the vision that we ought to have is that God's Word is that which will open our hearts and our minds to what is all around us. In other words, we need to see what God sees. Seriously. We need to see what God sees. We need to have a perspective from God's vantage point. You and I often, we look and we got our little tunnel vision. We see perhaps a lot of problems right in front of us. But God looks far ahead. God knows the end. Matter of fact, God's wrote about the end and He's victorious. Amen? And I've read some of those. I like the one part that says that, you know, the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that exciting? Really? That could take place in 2014. It could take place tonight. How many would argue with God about that? I mean, that'd be marvelous. We just go in the presence of God this very night. But God wants us to see things, I believe, as He sees them. Perhaps one of the things we need to look at and understand is that God wants us to see that in Him, all things are possible. In God, everything is possible. In the book of Mark, chapter 9, listen to these words in verse 22 to 24. It says, "And oft times it hath cast him into the fire," speaking of the boy, "and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything," the Father's pleading, "have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." How many things did he say? Lindsay, you got an answer there? Oh, Okay, you passed math today. All things are possible to him that believeth. And now it says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. How many times have you thought that in your life? Wow. He said, I believe, but man, I want to believe better. But all things are possible. Too often we don't see that. Too often we don't have that kind of vision. Too often we're not seeing as God wants us to see from His Word. And, you know, many times we end up quitting before victory comes. Too often we are willing to stop in the midst of something. I was reading this morning in the book of Exodus, and I was reading there in Moses. And Moses captures my heart on occasions. That Moses is he's going to Pharaoh, and he's saying, Pharaoh, well, you know, you need to let our people go. And Pharaoh's saying, no way, we're not going to do that. And, of course, the plagues begin to come and so forth. And chapter number 10, verse 8, it says, and Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said to them, I mean, it sounds like he had enough, go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? I like Moses' answer. And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. Will we go? For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. By the way, Pharaoh said, you're not going to do that. But what Moses said is what they did do. And Moses saw it the way God saw. And too often we're willing to quit. And too often we're like many of those Jews when the plagues began to come and they had the burdens placed upon them because Moses was before Pharaoh. They just wanted to give up. And we don't see through and allow God to do what He wants to do. Keep on keeping on. Amen. And keep on, as the slogan went a number of years ago, keep on trucking. Keep it going for the Lord. And so many times we quit before it starts. And a lot of times we don't start because we fear failure. We fear it. We're afraid we're going to look bad. We're afraid we're not going to make the grade. Think about it for just a moment. How many like baseball? Any of you folks like baseball? I know it's football season. You like baseball? All right. What is a good average for a baseball hitter? Somebody tell me. What's a good average? 300. Was there anybody that batted 300 last year? Was there? There are how many players per team? We're talking pros at the moment. 25 players per team. How many teams are there? Anybody know? I am the foggiest. Let's go with 25. 25 times 25 is what? Math teacher. 625, is that right? Okay, 625. How many players bat over 300? Serious? Okay. That's because they're hurting. All right, three or four, so we take 75 out of 75 over 625. What's that fraction? Come on, quick, Lindsay. Huh? Has anybody got it real quick? My mind ain't working on that very much. You got it? Christmas break, leave her alone, huh? 4/25. Actually, it's probably pretty good. All righty. 4/25. Let's go with 1/5. 1 out of 5. 1 out of 5 players bats over 300. How many times did he get put out? If he's batting 300, what's that mean? Do you know what it means, Lindsay? It means for every 10 times he's a bat, he's going to what? He's going to get on base, what, 3 times? Now, we're not counting walks here, but we're counting, all right? So he's hitting 3 times out of 10. How many times did he fail? 7 out of 10 times he failed.
I just joined the pros. I go up and I strike out my second time. I quit.
No. Listen, so often we're afraid we're going to fail. And you've got to keep on going. And because of failure, we oftentimes don't start. When I played basketball, I was not a good shooter. My specialty was defense. I loved to block shots. If I could slam the ball down, I mean, I could dunk it. That was the only way I could pretty well be sure I could make a basket. I was like Wilt Chamberlain at the free throw line, bounce off somewhere. And I would choke. It was in my 50s as I'm watching Michael Jordan, and he goes into slumps, and what does he do? Does he quit shooting? Give me the ball, I'm going to try it again. Shot more, till he got back into it. Me, what did I do? I quit because I was afraid to fail again. And too often, we don't start because we are afraid of failure. Failure is only a stepping stone to those with a vision of the possible. Are you listening? It is a stepping stone. Most businessmen will have gone belly up. They would have gone bankrupt. The average is somewhere between 1 and 2 times before they ever really make it. What's the deal? We are afraid of failure. I look back at what I consider to be perhaps the best president we ever had in the United States of America. I can tell you who the worst one is, kind of current. But Abraham Lincoln, I believe, was a tremendous president. Do you know how many elections he lost before he finally won? I mean, consider all the things that were there. And yet he kept on going, he kept on going. And too often we are afraid of failure. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. It's an unusual verse. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Really what it's looking at, from what I understand, is it's like a guy that's going out to the marshes, in the marsh areas, and he's got a bag of rice, and he begins just to sow the rice on top of the water that's flooded that field. I don't know about you, but in my mind, I would be thinking, that water's just going to carry that rice away. But he sees it as God sees it, as that which can settle down into the earth, and the water's receding, and the rice shoots begin to come up. God wants us not to be afraid of failure. Listen, you're going to try some things, and it's not going to work too good. What's that mean? It means we get up and go again. The righteous falleth 7 times, but here's what I love about that verse in Proverbs, and getteth up again. He falls down, but he gets up again. Oh man, I'll tell you what, you haven't heard my horse story probably. Horse horror, it's kind of a similar story. My mother told me when my horse threw me, or I got through, I'm not sure what happened. I came to the house. I was a bloody mess. He took off. I wasn't on the horse all the way, and I couldn't stop him. I had my leg up over, could not get over the back part of the saddle, and there I was clinging on for dear life, and I could not get myself on up, and I thought, I'm going to fall. And in my mind, as an 8-year-old boy, I thought to myself, no, I was only 7, I thought to myself, you know what? I could pick my spot if I jumped. That wasn't really too smart, but that's what I decided to do, and I jumped. And by the way, the road we were on was gravel. I didn't jump far enough. And I landed in the gravel, and I rolled and scratched all up. I get up to the house, and I'm crying. By the way, I didn't cry because I was scratched up. I was crying because the horse was going up the hill and I knew a car was going to come over and hit it. If I'd have been smart, I'd have been praying, oh God, bring a car over the hill. it would have been a horrible accident. Anyways, I get to the house and you know what my mom tells me? Oh, yeah, yeah. Get back on the horse. Show him who's boss. I said, Mom, I can't do it. Get back on the horse and go show it to his boss. I whimpered and I whined, and finally Mom says, all right, I'll send your sister. She did. She sent my sister to show it who's boss. Didn't do anything to me. We're going to fail in life. And we're going to get knocked down. But what my mother was trying to teach me was, get back up. Amen? Get back up. And go for it. Listen, we ought to be content with the things that we have about us, but we should never be content with the service that we're giving to the Lord. We ought to see things as God sees it. Sees, hey, there's opportunities and people that need to be saved and faith that needs to be exercised and prayers that need to be answered. We need to see those things. Contentment, by the way, is not getting what you want, but it's wanting what you already have. Think about that for a minute. But for the child of God, we ought never be content to serve Him. We ought to have in our mind this idea, hey, there is something out there for us to grasp a hold of. There's a rest that waits the people of God, but now it is for us to press onward. Paul said to the Philippians, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think about Caleb. An unusual. Joshua and Caleb, what a pair they were. And Caleb, it tells me in the book of Joshua chapter 14, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years, even the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He's 85 years old, and he says, give me my mountain. It's not a time to retire. It's just time for me to go do what I need to do. Forgive me for this illustration. There's a man by the name of Arnold Schwarzenegger. You've heard of Arnold. Arnold Schwarzenegger was... it just left me. What was the name of his country? Austria. Was he Austrian? And he wanted to be a bodybuilder. And he wanted to become the world's greatest bodybuilder. It was a thought in his mind. And he saw it as a ticket out of Austria. He was basically told, no, you can't do it. It won't ever happen. But he did. And he won it. And then later he says, I want to be an actor. And they says, you can't be an actor. It's just not going to... Who's going to want a guy that looks like you? And a film role came by called Conan, or however you say it, and they gave it to him. And he made several movies. And then one day, he decides, I'm going to be governor of California. At every turn, they told him, you can't do it. You can't do it. And yet he did it. Like Caleb, who at 85 did it. By the way, learn from your critics, but don't listen to them. Amen? Learn what you can glean from them, but don't listen to them. There are opportunities that are there for you to go after and to seek for. And God wants you to have some victories for Him. By the way, victories don't come without a battle. There are battles that are going to be there. But defeat starts in your mind. I don't watch a lot of football, but last night I watched the first half of Texas A&M play Duke. Can any of you folks see that? And then I didn't see it until about the last quarter, four or five minutes, and I turned it on. And when I quit watching it at halftime, A&M was down by 21 points. But they didn't quit. They got a quarterback by the name of, I think I say it right, Manziel. And really is a great quarterback. And though they're down 21 points, they didn't give up. They come back and they score points. And finally, defense decides to do something after all the offensive game, and an interception's made. And we find that in the end, they win the game. I forget the end score, but they won the game. Did you know that Nebraska today was rated to lose? Big headlines last night. What's it saying? ESPN. I forget what they call it. Their power thing or something. Georgia's going to win by 10 points. Didn't happen. Don't listen to the critics. You go after it. God has some things for you this year. God wants you to do some things. And so often, folks don't accomplish because they're too willing to give up or they're afraid they might fail. And so what if you fail? You get up and you go again. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." What's that mind? He said, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He saw who he was. He saw his potential. And you and I, listen, do we realize tonight that we are in Christ and Christ is in us? What can God do? God can do anything He wants to, except sin. And what God has for us, we can see some wondrous things take place. You can. Some of you in this room tonight, if I came to you and said, "Boy, you know what? You ought to teach a Sunday school class." "Oh, I can't do that." With that attitude, you know what? You never will. Never will. But when we have the attitude, "Hey, maybe God wants me to do that. You know, I can through Him. I can." We are to let that mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ be ours as well. Let this mind be in you. I am in Christ, and in Christ, what becomes impossible? Anything we believe is. Do you hear that? What's impossible? Whatever we believe is. By the same token, what is possible? Whatever we believe is. You see, the battle is really right up here. It's amazing what you might be able to accomplish for God this year if you get the right mindset. God can use you. We got vehicles out there that could be picking up literally scores more kids if we had the mindset, "Hey, I can go find them. I can find them. I can go after them." Let me close with this little story. 40-some years ago, there was a young man that got saved out in Seattle. His name was Dan. And Dan worked on the railroad. And when Brother Blue started the church there, Dan was a workmate, and through his influence and so forth, Dan eventually came to church and he got saved. Dan was really an introvert. And if you'd ever met his wife, she was the wife of an introvert. I mean, she was an introvert's introvert. You know what I'm saying? And they were just those kind of very, very shy kind of folks. And yet somehow, the idea got into Dan's mind that when we got another bus, that he could take that bus and go after some kids. We bought a 1947 Diamond Rio bus. The year is about 1972. This thing was a flathead six-cylinder. The hills in Seattle, if you were to go up, we had to use what you call grandma gear. This bus would not die, but it did not go very fast. And it would make it, but you sometimes wondered when it would make it. And we bought that bus, and it had been used in the fields. Brother Boo found it out in the middle of a strawberry patch. They used it once a year to go into Seattle to pick up workers to come out and pick strawberries. They didn't take care of it the rest of the year. He made an offer. We bought it, brought it back, washed it up. And out there you had to paint them. You couldn't run them as yellow buses. And so we painted them blue, about the color of the chairs, a little darker. And we put the thing on the road. Dan says, I'll take that bus. Every Saturday, about 10 o'clock, he'd begin to go down the streets, going from one door to the next, looking for kids. Mind you, he's not a real outgoing guy. But he went looking for kids. And he began to get kids on that bus. It wasn't too awful long that he was bringing in 50 and 60 kids every Sunday on that old Diamond Rio bus. We had a contest one Sunday, and there was another man in our church that had taken another bus route, and so they were in fierce competition. They was going to see who could have the most kids on their bus. Well, they went out, and they came in, and that next Sunday morning, believe it or not, these were 67 passenger buses. Don was the other guy's name, had about 123 kids on his bus. This is in the days before OSHA and all the other things. I mean, how did we survive those things? I don't know. We didn't. Dan only had 117. Don beat him. The next week, Dan had nearly 80. Don had 16. The next week it was the same thing. He might have lost the one time, but he kept at it and kept at it. You know what God called him to do? Go to Bible college. You know what he ended up doing after that? Started a church out in Washington. He died at an early age. His wife's gone now too. But Dan just did it. Nobody important, nobody fancy. He just could see it the way God saw it. Amen. It's there. It's available. There's so much that can be accomplished for God. And God can use you. God can use you. I don't care if you're... Sometimes kids, they say, well, I'm just a kid. I'm amazed at what kids can accomplish. It astounds me. Listen, we can't. Amen? It is what we believe. Really, it comes down to that. All things are possible to who? Those who believe. Our prayer needs to be, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. God has it there for us. Father, tonight, thank you. Give us that kind of vision. Help us to see it as you see it. Lord, help us to see that you have great, wonderful victories ahead. But, oh God, we know there's battles. We know that the times are rough in between. We know, Lord, there's a lot of good quitting places. Lord, we have fears of failure. Oh, God, help us to see the way you see it. Help us to have that kind of vision. Allowing the Word of God to just percolate within our soul. Bless and work in our hearts and lives as we go forth from this day. And Lord, may this year be a year of great progress and things of God in each of our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.